It's timely that we are moving into Romans 5 on a day where physical space may not be able to gather for we reminded in the same way, blessing his promise of both a new covenant and new creation. We're moving from the first, that is his right to the right actions he's already taken. We've already heard and begun to read about Christ's sufficient work on our behalf, that he is the sacrifice and he is the mercy seat and he reigns. And so now Paul moves from what has been a description of God's right and right action into the implications of a new covenant and new creation. What happens because of good things that God, of course, we can rely on to this church of great dim is writing to a church that has been significantly disrupted and is only now being able to come back together after the exile of its Jewish members. And how do they then join back together in fellowship, knowing the truth of who God is and therefore who they are? So let's put Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 in front of us. Before following along in your scriptures, defied by hear now God's word. With God through our Lord Jesus, faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts while we were Holy Spirit, who at the time Christ died to us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if the Son reconciled our enemies, we were much more now reconciled to God, reconciled shall we God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands in a time. Please pray with me. Darkening clouds of a need to be reminded of your power and your grace, Lord, to be encouraged in our heart and in our spirit that our God reigns and that we are one in you. Lord, we pray that as we delve into your word, that your spirit might be poured out into our hearts generously, encouraging us, pray these, strengthening us, and Lord, amen. Hope that will not be. I want us to look at this text really under the headings of new covenant and new creation. We are going to go back and forth throughout all 11 verses, looking at the way in which Paul weaves these themes in and through these 11 verses. But for many of us, this is a really challenging time because suffering produces character and endurance, and yet it's true. It's true, and it is not ours to discern what suffering is sufficient or light. And so we take this text as an encouragement wherever God finds you this morning, that you are in a new relationship with him, and because you are in this covenant relationship with him, you are a part of new creation. What joy, and yet, let's look at new, a hard thing, fresh our eyes. There is peace at new covenant, Lord and King Jesus Christ, verses 4:24 through 5:1. Again, for Paul, of course, there isn't the break in the chapters the way they are for us. And so I want us to remember how his argument works. What he was talking about in verse 24, but for ours also it will be counted, that is, the faith, but in also it was written down. It was something he did because of his righteous actions. It was that first step of faith. It was a belief in God's word, even in the face of his own body and his wife's body and their age, that God would bless them and make them a mighty nation. It was a faith in what God could do. And it is, then Paul takes into verse by faith. Chapter 5, therefore peace. peace with God. And that is not something that many religions support or encourage. You can certainly get to an agreement with your divine, but it's always what you do next that determines whether or not that God is continuing to be faithful to you. There's always that sense in modern age that human beings create us as long as we serve it faithfully. And we live in fear of that which we love. It doesn't matter if it's those things like popular among those in our work or in our circle of friends. All of those things which we have to maintenance if we're going to have a sense of peace. And how quickly when those things leave us, our health or our finances or our relationship, how quickly peace we have faith in. And we will all float testing here that somehow concerns about peace and war and strife. No, it is a statement of hope. A hope that will not disappoint, yet nonetheless it is a statement of faith that we have peace with God. It is the foundation. 5:6 tells us it's in our weaknesses that he makes peace with us. Our ability, not in our strength, not in our him, not in our generosity, but in our weakness. Our ability to do. And 5:8 says that it is out of the very nature of his love. Who was peace could be shown. It is a reminder that it is not the ways in which the world thinks that power comes, the way we're regularly tempted to believe, the way security is arrived at. But it is the foolishness of the cross and a resurrected Savior. Mean that that gives us peace around and in the culture. But that peace or in the world, grateful that somewhere in a distant throne room, some benevolent king declared peace with us. No, it's access into the Holy of Holies. As we go into chapter 5, verse 2, it is access. It is relationship. It's not just a decree of a far-flung sovereign. It is an intimate invitation into relationship. 3, and access into the Holy of Holies. Where we talked about. It's a blood became, chapter 3, verses 20, the ox and the goat that was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And that he himself, with equal access, we stand there this morning, we sit there this morning at his feet. This access is given to us, verse 5 says, by the Holy Spirit. God actually indwelling you. You and I have become the temple of God. Because God dwells in a place where heaven is his people. It is that place we gather together, meet, place where heaven and earth meet. God makes his dwelling among his people, and by the Spirit, God is here in and through this gathering. That is new covenant. That is the old covenant on steroids. That is the old covenant fulfilled. That is more than the prophets could have ever dreamed. And had the temple, they'd seen the tabernacle, where God knew what it was like to rearrange the town in a circle with the high place where the temple was, arranged around a place where you could see the dwelling place in the place. And now in every, because you and I are now places where heaven and earth meet. Because of the Spirit poured out in our hearts richly. And that, of course, for Paul leads into the hope that will not disappoint. This is the hope in God's glory, not our own. Again, that is freeing. If peace is achieved by my efforts, and if access to God is achieved by glory that God efforts and my purity, accept me into hope is my own. I have to be glory. That God will to be perfection. I have to be what I can never quite accomplish, which is why I don't feel peace and why I feel very distant from God. But with Paul, we are learning that in this new covenant, our hope is in the glory of God, that we bathe in and rest in and get to delight in seeing the glory of the only one and true God. You permeates us, reflected by the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And we will not be put to shame. Verse 5. Through all the trials and travails, what I call the, we have the ordo Salutis, the order of salvation in Romans 8, and I would say that in Romans 5, you have the order of sanctification. There is a reality that as I in us to self, there is different than it would in the world. It is not there to crush, but to strip away those things which are actually holding us back and down. Carrying the weight of sin limits our mobility. It limits our ability to move forward. It wearies us beyond all imagining. But to have that burden cut off, I find it. You want to go pick it back up. That the and the grace of God produce the whose yoke is life and peace and joy. And that produces form the hope because we've seen minister God work. We've by the Holy Spirit and by you as his hands and as his feet and as his mouthpiece. Paul expects when he writes letters to churches to be an encouragement in their hope. Even as he has to at times correct hope. Therefore, the disappoint because hope is a hope Christ cannot be removed because it is secured by him. Access is not something that's dependent upon how many times I sinned today, but on the sure hope of Christ being my very access. And my hope is secured in the fact that I can see time and time again the glory of God reflected in his work. Anchors these great us up to new creation because of peace, because of access, and because of the hope that comes from what Christ has done and the Holy Spirit living in us and the work of life being renewed. Because again, the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell dead things. We don't believe, we're not animists. We don't believe that he's present in a rock. We don't believe that God, but he only indwells his living people. So we have the hope that the glory of God, that life itself will spread. Because I am in him, I have a changed view of what the world looks like. It changes my view of everything in creation. Suffering, it's how Paul can. Now, verses 5 of the suffering has, suffering can be trained. Very little point. It is stoic, perhaps, that we could endure it. Or Epicurean, we try and flee from it. And suffering in the world is, chances are, there was sin in the camp. That was the pagan notion. That was the notion of all of the people around Paul. In fact, one of the reasons Christians were often persecuted because they were thought to be atheists because they wouldn't participate in the festivals of the locals because they didn't join in the festival. There were doubters. There were atheists in the town. And if the harvest goes bad, it was the Christians acting out of good faith, without good faith. But suffering for a Christian is not directly, without shaded. God has turned his failings. It doesn't mean without shame. It's something inherently sinful in who and what we are. That's already been addressed. Therefore, suffering is the refiner's fire. That doesn't make it pleasant, but it has a purpose. And the purpose is to transform us into Gospels seems to be one humility of serving people that in the end nailed him to a cross naked. For Paul, that becomes the glory of God because it's how life comes. The world wants to seems impractical. We are going to suffer a period of not being able to meet together again. This cannot and should not be the new normal. And we pray that the times are cut short. As we try and ease suffering, the rate of spread that perhaps fewer will suffer with the illness. Without shame. We may be right or we may be wrong, but the heart and the desire is to be. But it's not just new creation breaks the power of what is so regularly described in Scripture as being the dog-eat-dog reality of the world. The strong devour the weak. Well, because the jungle festival, which makes the fear of judgment, where he wilted our... Well, because some of the... But in Christ, all of that wrath is turned on God himself. This is clearly, according to the Greek and what the scholars tell us, a very clear statement of the divinity of Christ in Paul's language. He is saying that the divine became flesh and bore that one for us of sin, and one who was sufficient and defeated, only one who could bear, and therefore we are saved from wrath. That is, in using the tools of the world 100 years, we didn't pick up a sword, even in the face of persecution. We did not return evil for evil. And in so doing, within the space of about 300 years, Christianity effectively took over the Roman Empire, became the official religion. And the sword, a little confused, became blurred, official too often. But for Paul at this point, having no illusions of how power was going to be administered, is able to speak of the ending of wrath. How does that change our own view and our own hearts as we work on the horizon midst of, as we seek to, midst of many to bring shalom, righteous, in the midst of suffering? How do we act as those who are freed from wrath, freed from the fear, minded as we head into, Lord willing, just a couple of weeks of isolation as we are constrained to be perhaps around our families more than is healthy. We are people of reconciliation. Because Christ, because we know that we are freed from wrath, we are people who can extend shalom and reconciliation. We can extend peace because we are people who have peace with God. And we can have hope for the power of reconciliation in a manner that the world can scarcely imagine. These first 11 verses, so much to unpack. There is, and I know that I am running over it quite quickly, but I want us to just take a couple of questions with us as we think about what it means to bring new creation. A few weeks, how it guides and encourages us. How will we react to suffering? Suffering caused by our actions or others? The fear and the dangers that lie ahead with people's economic status and their health? In the midst of perhaps fear of what happened, how will we react in the turmoil of suffering? I think it's something that we have to think about ahead of time. When it sneaks up on us, sometimes we react more than we respond. As people saved from wrath, how do we seek relief for others? Those who are enduring one level, how do we, or disdain, or to be, or anger, or for those who feel comes to you, but if we are people of peace, how do we take advantage of being peace bringers in a time where wrath seems finally prevalent? To be known in ever greater degrees, how are we known as a people? God says that the greatest thing we can be known as is those who bring peace. And peace only comes through reconciliation. Détente just means that the war is on hold. We're up again. This is, but the cessation of hostility home and flare up again. The way God has reconciled himself to us. Romans has an immediate context. How do Jewish and Gentile believers have a reconciled view of the church, of their community. But the calling and the hope, seeing suffering for the other differently, being those who mediate and bring an end to wrath, that we bring reconciliation and new creation, and that is good that lasts, thing good, the flame or the flood, but that all that is done for the glory of God and by His glory will remain, even if the world at the moment sees it as shameful or weak or without hope. They thought that shame and defeat by death and the hopelessness of the tomb had won again. And they were wrong. And they will be wrong again because the creation is being renewed. Temple of God that goes out from this. Delight in the peace we have with you. Lord, give us the clarity of thought by your Spirit and the encouraging words of our brothers and sisters that as you bring us through suffering, that you can and will transform us in ever greater, that we might have the hope and the eyes to see what He saw so that He could go through what He went through for us. Lord, thank you that anything we go through has the assurance that death has been defeated, that there is no shame for those who are in you as we do your work and as we rest in you, seeing it come. And for all of it, Lord, may His name glory and may we.